بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 10th of January in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 11th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious surah Al-Kahf Now, read verse 29. So, inshallah, today going through up to and including verse 31. So, verse 29. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Say, the truth is from your Lord. Let him who will believe, and let him who will reject. For the oppressors, we have prepared a fire whose walls will hem them in. If they implore relief, they will be granted water like muhl that will scald their faces. How dreadful the drink, how uncomfortable a couch to recline on. So in this blessed verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He mentions clearly that He is given the truth. Meaning, once the message reaches you, you have no excuses. But He still says, the choice is yours. If you will believe, but if you will be an unbeliever. But the truth He's given, and it's true. The more you learn about the deen, the more you see the truth. And you realize that you have no choice. And yet Allah Ta'ala says, this is why unbelief is such a great crime. And then it says, for the wrongdoers, i.e. the oppressors, we have prepared a fire. Meaning that if you reject, you become a zalim. So usually a zalim is what you do to others. When you say you're an oppressor, that means that you've oppressed others. But here, who are you oppressing? Allah Ta'ala says you've rejected. Meaning you have oppressed yourself. For the oppressors, we have prepared a fire whose walls will hem them in. Whose walls will hem them in. So here Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He mentions the walls of hell. So what do we know about the walls? The hadith is in Tirmidhi, number 2587 and Mishkat. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the canopy of hell are four thick walls. Each wall is the length equal to traveling 40 years. SubhanAllah. The canopy of hell are four thick walls. Each wall is the length equal to traveling 40 years. So here the Prophet explained the walls, their thickness is 40 years. Meaning that the fire is so severe, it needs a 40 year thickness wall to contain. And what is the wall made of? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But the Quran mentions the wall here. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاتَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا The walls will hem them in. Then it says, if they implore relief, they will be granted بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُحْلِ Water like muhl. يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهُ That will scald their faces. So what is muhl? In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Al-muhl is thick water which is similar to the sediment in oil. Al-muhl is thick water which is similar to the sediment in oil. So if you get oil, yes, it's liquid, but it doesn't flow. It's viscosity is thick. Muhl is like that. It's water, but it's like the sediment of oil. In Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ikrimah said, Rahmatullah alayh, Muhl is the thing that is heated to the ultimate temperature. That's why the water is like that. Because normal water, 100 degrees, that's it. It's gone. After a bit, it turns to steam. So how can that water be in hell? Well, people don't think. They think you'll never drink. Well, how's water in hell? It can't be water. It's Muhl. Muhl is a designed water that can reach the ultimate temperature. Meaning something else beyond comprehension. Also in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Qatada rahmatullah alayhi said that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu, he once melted some gold in a grove. When it became liquid and from the foam rose at the top, he said, this is the thing which is most like al-muhl. So if you get gold and you heat it, you see a foam on the top. Ibn Mas'ud said, this is very similar to muhl. This is what Allah Ta'ala is referring to. Meaning it's a liquid, but it is something else. Meaning it's a design liquid. And also, Ad-Dahaq rahmatullah alayhi said in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, the water of hell is black. Itself is black. And its people is black. The water of hell is black. Itself is black. And its people are black. Meaning the water is dark. So there's another thing we learn about muhl. So now, look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give you details. If you look at the verse, it simply says, they will beg for relief. They will be granted water like muhl. How the heck are you supposed to understand that without commentary? Water like muhl, what's that? Look at all the things the authorities have mentioned. But it's mentioned in other places of the Quran. In Surah Duhan, Surah 44, verse 45. In Surah 44, verse 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there, Kal muhl yaghli fil butun, like muhl, it will boil their insides. What does this mean? In Tirmidhi, number 2590, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 11672, Hakim in his Mustadrak, Abu Ya'la, Bihaki in his Shu'ab al-Iman, Ibn Hiban, Ibn Mardawi, Abdi Ibn Humid, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, 4-400. Our beloved messenger, he recited this portion of verse 45. Kal muhl, he explained, it is like the sediment of olive oil. When it will be brought near one's face, the skin of his face will fall into it. Astaghfirullah. It is like the sediment of olive oil. When it will be brought near one's face, the skin of his face will fall into it. So here the Prophet himself told you, it's like the sediment of olive oil. But even before he's drank it, the skin of the face falls into the drink. Astaghfirullah. And the Prophet said, this is the meaning here. So the Quran says, yaghli fil butun, it will boil the inside. So why would you drink that? If the skin of your face is falling, because you're desperate. You know it's causing untold harm on the outside, but the desperation leads you to drinking it. How thirsty must the people of hell be? So this is another place muhl is mentioned. Another place. In Surah 47 verse 15. Surah Muhammad. Surah 47 verse 15. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the end of that verse. وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ. They will be given to drink hamim. It will cut their intestines to pieces. So here is a report. In Tirmidhi number 2583, Ahmad in his Musnad 5-265, Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-251, Ibn al-Mubarak in his Zuhd, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 8-812, Ibn Abi Dunya. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he will draw it near his mouth, but he will dislike it. When it will be taken nearer to him, it will scald his face, and the skin of his head will fall off. When he will eventually drink it, it will cut his intestines to pieces till it will come out of his backside. Allah the Almighty and Glorious said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited Surah 18 verse 29, and also this verse, Surah 47 verse 15. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained that after you have drank muhl, it will cut your intestines to pieces. And Professor Keith Moore mentioned that this is the most severest pain the human can experience. He goes, the intestine does not have thermal receptors. You can't feel pain. But if it's perforated, if it's cut, the contents leak into the highly sensitive peritoneal cavity, and that causes the severest pain in the human body. Leaving the science to one side, how did the Prophet know that? So what is muhl doing? It's causing absolute destruction, causing the severest pain. And what happens when your intestine falls to pieces? It comes out your backside. But don't forget, you're not in the state you're in now. The state of the person in hell is magnified immensely, which is mentioned in the various reports. So when they ask for relief, Allah Ta'ala gives them this. Think about that. He gives them muhl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. Ameen. That will scald their faces. And then what does Allah Ta'ala say? Bi'asa sharab. How dreadful the drink. Allah Ta'ala is giving you the answer. If somebody goes, what a terrible drink. It depends who's saying that. If Allah Ta'ala is saying that, وَبِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ, what a terrible drink. Then he says, وَصَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَى, how uncomfortable a bed to recline on. This is your resting place. He says, how uncomfortable is this? Also in Ibn Kathir, so now just let me just summarize muhl. Because muhl, there's a few things mentioned. So first of all, it's a sediment of oil. That's mentioned by the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, it's thick water. It's very thick water. Number three, it reaches the ultimate heat. It can absorb heat to the greatest degree. Just like sulfur is the stones of hell. But that also reaches a very high temperature. That's why sulfur is mentioned as a stone of hell. In Hakim it is Mustadrak from Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu. Number four, it's forms of liquid gold. It's like the form of liquid gold. And number five, it is bordering black. So all these details are given by the reports I've mentioned. Also in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, it mentions about this holy verse. So this narration is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, when the people of hell become hungry, they will ask for relief from it. They will be given the tree of Zaqum, which they will eat. The tree will tear off the skin of their faces. And if anyone who knew them were to pass by, he would recognize the skin of their faces on the tree. Then they will feel thirsty. So they will ask for drink. They will be granted water like muhl. That is what has been heated to the ultimate temperature. When it is brought near their mouths, the flesh of their faces from which the skin has been torn will be baked. The flesh of their faces from which the skin has been torn off will be baked. So let's look at this. So here Sa'id ibn Jubair says, when you go to the tree of Zaqum, the skin of your faces is ripped off onto the tree. And if a people walk past the tree, they will know who's been here. They will see the faces on that tree. Meaning that's the badge of people who've attended this tree. Then it says, when they're thirsty, they give it al-muhl. When it is brought near their mouths, the flesh of their faces from which the skin has been torn off will be baked. Now what's happened? The skin's already gone. The skin's on the tree. The flesh underneath is going to be roasted by muhl. Awuzubillah, think about that. You know, if you reflect upon this, you think, astaghfirullah, what? There you go. Right? Allah Ta'ala is talking about hell in the Quran. This is what you were so eager to go to. So note again the graphic descriptions mentioned in the various reports. Verse 30. Ask to those who believe and do righteousness. Verily we shall not suffer to perish the reward of any who do a single righteous deed. So this is what Allah the Almighty and Glorious always does in the Quran. When he talks about hell, he straight away talks about paradise. When he talks about paradise, he'll talk about hell. Now why is that so beautiful? Because both of those prevent you from living a sinful life. If a person says to you, why don't you indulge in the things that the people indulge in? He goes, brother, I'm striving towards paradise. You get people like this. But then you get other people. They say the opposite. He goes, brother, you know what hell is. You want me to indulge. And there's the beauty. Allah Ta'ala knows there's different people. Some people are doing it, trying to get to paradise. But both of them are your aids to help you to live a righteous life. But in reality, we shouldn't need them. If you look at the awliya, they would say, if you worship your Lord for paradise, you're a merchant. Meaning there's a deal going on. You've done a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you worship your Lord for fear of hell, he goes, then you're a renegade. Meaning that you only work because you got a whip. So what would the awliya say? He goes, what's up with you people? You should worship your Lord because he deserves it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala, look at the kindness. Because you can't all reach that level. I know you. So I'll give you a carrot. And what's his carrot? Paradise. Subhanallah. Right? And what's his warning? Hell. Right? There you go. There's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now if you look at this verse, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Those who believe. Why? Because deeds have no effect without iman. Allah ta'ala never mentions deeds by itself. He always mentions iman first. Have you noticed? People don't read the Quran. What's the most famous surah which mentions it? Surah Asr. So you go, brother, read it slowly. Wal Asr. Yes. Innal insana lafi khusr. Yes. Then what does it say? Illa alladhina amanu. Stop, brother. What? Illa alladhina what? Amanu. Right. What does it say next? Wa amilus. Oh. So belief comes first. Then deeds. Meaning if you commit shirk, shaitan's not bothered. So here again Allah Ta'ala says it. As for those who believe, then he says, and do deeds of righteousness, we shall not suffer to perish the reward of any who do a righteous deed. But now there's something interesting here. The righteous will be rewarded, mentioned again and again, but beyond their merits. Not a single good deed of theirs will lose its reward. And the mercy of Allah will blot out their sins. So now, where is this mentioned? In Surah 28, verse 84. In Surah 28, verse 84, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there. The translation, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. If any does good, the reward for him is better than his good, his deed. But if any does evil, the doer of evil are only punished due to their deeds. It's clear. People don't read the Quran. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? If you, man ja'a bil hasana, falahu khayrun minha. Whoever does good, the reward is better than his deed. Because the mercy of Allah, because you don't deserve it. My reward is greater than your effort. Allah ta'ala says it. But then he goes, but when you commit a sin, I only give you the punishment for that. There's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Abdullah ibn Masud said about this verse in Hakim, Targheeb number 1237. Whoever does good, man ja'a bil hasana, applies to whoever comes with la ilaha illallah. And then he said, wa man ja'a bis sayya, but if any does evil, applies to the one who commits shirk. So Ibn Masud said, ultimately the greatest good is tawheed. And ultimately the worst crime you commit is shirk. But even for shirk, you are punished. Only according to your crime. And look how great that crime is. If a person says to you, how great is shirk? You will be punished forever. That is the exact punishment for that crime. Then the person goes, what do you mean forever? He goes, that is the punishment. Allah tells you that in the Quran. He doesn't say, I'm going to punish you more than the... He gives you the equal punishment. So what is, how great is shirk? How great a crime? You will be punished forever. Look at how disgusting that sin is. And Tawheed, what's the reward for Tawheed? It's paradise. But Ibn Masud goes greater. The reward is greater. Right? So when people say, why doesn't Allah Ta'ala give shirk? Study the Quran, brother. Allah Ta'ala tells you why shirk is unforgivable. You have to repent now. Only on the earth can you repent from that horrific crime. That's why shaitan's not bothered. You commit shirk, you can knock yourself out, brother. Keep prostrating. I'm not bothered. Khawarij, you know, he wasn't bothered about their worship. They were proud of it as well. That's interesting. Verse 31. For them will be gardens of eternity. Beneath them will rivers flow. They will be adorned therein with bracelets of gold. And they will wear green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade. They will muttaqiina ala al-ara'iq. How good the reward. How beautiful a couch to recline on. So Allah Ta'ala is now talking about paradise. And he knows that you don't really know what's going on in there. So he's talking about things that you got an idea about. It's no point, like one verse of the Quran says, no eyes have ever seen, no mind has ever conceived. So there's no point talking about that. You won't know what he's talking about. So Allah Ta'ala deliberately talks about things that you have some idea about. And what does he talk about here? First, he talks about gardens of eternity. Jannat wa Adn. Now, what's interesting about that? Gardens aren't eternal. They die. Allah Ta'ala says paradise doesn't die. It's eternal. And the word Eden, Garden of Eden, that is the meaning. You know, the English say the gardens of Eden. Jannat wa Adn. We believe that. Don't laugh at that. That's in Quran. Then it says, beneath them rivers will flow. There's a clue there. How many times have I mentioned this? If you've got a garden, you need to water it. Somebody goes, who's watering your garden? River. Somebody goes, what do you mean river? River. River is watering the garden. What's the river? Milk. Honey. Wine. Water. So do you understand this garden? And if this is the river, the life of the garden, what fruits are going to be produced? If you got beautiful fruits on the earth and this is polluted water that's given it the source, then what about the pure water, the pure wine, the pure honey, the pure milk? So Allah Ta'ala goes, Jannatu adnin tajri min tahtiha al-anahar. Then he talks about bracelets of gold. They will be adorned therein with bracelets of gold. So here there's a report. So this narration is in Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 3-75. The Prophet recited this portion. يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَصَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبْ. They will be adorned therein with bracelets of gold. He explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They shall be wearing crowns, the humblest pearl of which would illuminate the earth from east to the west. Subhanallah. They shall be wearing crowns, the humblest pearl of which will illuminate the earth from east to the west. So what does the Quran say? You'll be wearing bracelets of gold. So you think of your wrist. The Prophet recited that. And what did he talk about? The crown. So a person goes, well, I don't get it. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you, you will be adorned. You missed something. Adorn means Allah Ta'ala is beautifying you, but Allah Ta'ala only mentions a bracelet. So the Prophet was highlighting the adornment isn't just the bracelet. You love a crown. And the crown, again, your mind thinks of a king. Get it out of your head. Why? Because one ruby in that crown would light up the entire earth. Now, what's interesting about that? The sun can't do that. The sun can only illuminate half the earth because of the rotation of the earth. The Prophet said that ruby can illuminate the entire earth. Meaning it will overpower the sun. That's on your head. One hadith says every person of paradise, whether male or female or servant, has a crown. So you won't see a person with, you know, just his vowel. Every person you've been to has got a crown. Paradise itself says, welcome to him who's entered the residence of kings. Paradise itself welcomes to the resident, you are a king. Allah has blessed you with a kingdom beyond measure. And you look like a king as well. Don't think, you know, smashed up king, right? You know, you will look like a king. There's no, like, you know, simple people there. Then what does it say? وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُدْرًا مِّن سُنْدُسْ وَإِسْتَبْرَقًا. They will wear green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade. So Allah Ta'ala is talking about silk. We all know what that is. But he goes, green silk. You think, that looks very nice. Green silk and heavy brocade. Why is he mentioning green? That's interesting. So the scholars, they point out something very interesting. So in the Tafsir Al-Bahr Al-Muhit 6-122, the Shaykh says, it could be understood from these verses that the garments of the people of paradise will be green because it is the best color. And humans feel more comfortable with it than with any other color. That's very interesting. Yes. So the Shaykh who wrote Al-Bahr Al-Muhit, the Tafsir, he goes, it is the best color. People feel very comfortable with green. And psychologically they prove that. Light green is very soothing. It calms a person. Red agitates, the opposite. It makes a person get angry, blood boil. The bull to the red rag, as they say. Green is the opposite. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He loved the color green. Sahih hadith in Abu Nu'aym. He was born in the season of green, spring. People of paradise wear green. Jibreel wears green, alayhi salatu wasalam. No, we were agreeing. In another report, it mentions, in Khatib al-Baghdadi ibn Abi Shayba, in his Musannaf, our beloved messenger said, "Man azza akhahu al-mu'mina fi musibatihi qasahu Allahu hullatan khadra'a yuhbaruha biha yawm al-qiyamah." If a person consoles his brother for a calamity that befalls him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put on him a green garment on account of which he will be envied on the day of resurrection. This is one of the rewards. So when a person goes through a calamity, could be death, which is the usual, or could be anything, calamity. You know, something's happened, loses his job, fails his exam, and you console him. That deed is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will give you a green garment that you will wear on the day of judgment. And people will think, who is this person who's got the green clothes on? Sahih hadith, why is Allah ta'ala giving you green garments on the day of judgment? Why not yellow? He loves the color green. So if you see green, that's success. The hadith is saying success is the color of success. The Arabs used to say in Tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani 5-15, three things drive away sorrow: water, greenery, and a beautiful face. And it's true. If you hear, you go to a place where there's a water flowing, beautiful. You just want to sit there, you want to listen to the zikr of the water. You see greenery. What do people, I want to go to Peak District. Why? Greenery. That's interesting. And a beautiful face, obviously, what you're allowed to look at. Right? When you see children, you say, Subhanallah. And there you go. The Arabs would say that. They knew. They were people of fitrah. And at the last talking to the Arabs, they were the first people to hear the Quran. Not as Sawar Kamis, right? They didn't know anything about green. They were thinking, green? We live in a desert. Allah Ta'ala is telling them. But well, at the same time, look how beautiful. With our modern, enlightened, scientific understanding. Oh, yeah, you woke up as well now, mashallah. Oh, right? Classic, oh. Also, in another report, it mentioned slightly different. So this report is in Ibn Majah. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a believer consoles his brother for the calamity that befalls him, Allah Ta'ala will clothe him with the garment of honor on the day of resurrection. So what's the difference? The previous report mentions the color. He'll be given a green garment. People will envy you. This hadith says, garment of izzah, karama, sorry, holy little karama, honor. You'll be honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you should comfort people. People think, oh brother, you should, brother, you're losing, ah. You can say, brother, look how selfish it is in a way. You're comforting him. And in your heart, you're thinking, green garment, right? Don't worry about that. Allah has given you that. Right? And what do people do? You look at the non-Muslims, those who don't believe in anything, they do that as well. It's the right thing to do. Are they your guides? It's the right thing to do, right? Go and climb a ladder, brother. That's the right thing to do as well. We're doing everything with different understandings. And they won't mind. They go, mashallah, this is sunnah. We understand, even if they know what the reward is. They go, look, mashallah, may Allah give you that honor that He's promised. Right, so note again here, green is mentioned. Then what does it say? Muttaqiina fiha alal araiq. There's a reason I've left this in Arabic, because you can't translate that. They will muttaqiina alal araiq. So let's look at this. So it mentions in Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So this narration, is recorded in Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, he recites this verse. Muttaqiina fiha alal araik. The word muttaqiin implies lying down. Or it is said it means sitting with one's legs crossed. Like Brother Zubair and Ali's doing. And right? So either means you're lying down, or your legs are crossed. Then Ibn Kathir said, this is the closer meaning here. Then he quotes a hadith. In Tirmidhi Sahih, the Prophet ﷺ said, Amma ana fala aqulu muttaqi'a. As for me, I do not eat sitting with the legs crossed. Because the Prophet is explaining Quran. We hear these hadiths. We don't even know if he's quoting Quran or not. Because I don't eat. Muttaqi'a. What does Allah Ta'ala say here? Muttaqi'ina fiha alal ara'ik. Muttaqi'in. They're in on ara'ik. They will be sitting like this. Like you're doing in paradise. Subhanallah. This is why the scholars say that in this gathering, to sit cross-legged is sunnah. To sit on your knees is sunnah, at-tahiyyat. But other positions are disliked because of other things mentioned. This is why, you know, a person wants to ask me, why, where's the proof of sitting cross-legged? Quran. Right? And look how interesting when a person sits, look, he looks honorable. But then it says, alal araik. What does araik mean? Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi said, araik is the plural of arika. So arika is the singular, arika. Araik is plural. Which is a bed under a canopy. So when you get, you know, and you see these, I just find it amazing how the non-Muslims, their fitna kicks in. When you see them go on holiday, what do you notice? They've got a bed and there's a like a cloth covering over it on the beach. Where did they get that from? You know, you could actually say, what's this? What's this cloth you put under here? Oh, this is like this beautiful surrounding. And that's the covering. This is ara'ik. What did the Quran say? Alal ara'ik. Ara'ik is the plural of a bed under a canopy. But there's another meaning. So look what the Quran says. They will be sitting cross-legged or lying down. Another meaning. On a bed under a canopy. Look at the beautiful image you've got. But there's another meaning. The other meaning here, Imam Sayyuti rahmatullah alayhi mentions in Al-Itqan. Abu Ubaid says that Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, we did not know what the word ara'ik meant. Meaning it's a very difficult word. Even Hassan al-Basri goes, we didn't know what it meant until we met a man from Yemen. He informed us that in their dialect, Ariqa, the singular, means a carpet or clothing that was beautified in a certain area. So if you are actually seeing a carpet, it's not that. But if you've got a designated area and you see a beautiful carpet in a desert, that is because we in Yemen say Ara'ik. Hassan al-Basri goes, that's what it means. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? Muttaki'ina, sitting cross-legged, lying down. Fiha alal araik, on a beautiful designated carpet or under the canopy on a bed. Allahu Akbar. Look at the way Allah Ta'ala is talking about paradise. He's using, and what's interesting, when you talk about valuable things, don't you use the choicest words? You don't say a diamond. Yeah, it's expensive, right? Look how the people look about diamonds. Because diamonds, the most, you know, they talk with honor. What about paradise? Allah Ta'ala uses the choicest words. So if you combine this, the meaning here is that you will be sitting cross-legged or lying on a bedding under a canopy or on a carpet or clothing beautified in a certain area. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala is talking about simple things. Notice this verse is not talking about anything great. But they are great. If you look into it, you think these are something else. You know, subhanAllah. Also here, if you look at the end of the verse, look how easily you miss these points. What does Allah Ta'ala say at the end of verse 31? Ni'ma thawab wa hasunat murtafaqa. Now a person goes, okay, what's significant there? Your fruit cake, go back to verse 29. If you go back to verse 29, what does it say at the end? Bi'asa sharab. How dreadful the drink. Did we mention that? What does it say here? Ni'ama thawab. Look at the word. Look at the beauty of the words that Allah is using. He's talking about hell. Bi'asa sharab. What a dreadful drink. When he talks about pardon, ni'ama thawab. What a beautiful reward. Then what does he say? وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقَى. How beautiful a couch to lie on. Go back to verse 29. وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَى. How uncomfortable a couch to recline on. Look at the majesty of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala is talking about hell. He's just twerking words. He goes, what a wretched drink. What a very uncomfortable couch. When he talks about paradise, he goes, what a beautiful reward. Ni'ma thawab. Wa hasunat murtafaqa. What a beautiful couch to recline. So note, when you're reading this surah every week, every verse you should pause. You think, subhanAllah, right? Allah Ta'ala is talking about paradise. And the way he's talking about it, only he can talk like this. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll recite the verse. And we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka, wa subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.